one of the best golf analysts around, Rex Hoggard from the Golf Channel, joins us now. Rex, how you doing?
Good, guys. What's going on?
Lots. I did see Jason Day. You know, he collapsed. Obviously, finished the hole. What can you tell us? Is it too early to know exactly what's going on with Day?
Yeah, it might be too early. I think they just rolled him out in an ambulance. He obviously did not stop and speak with the media. I did have an opportunity to talk with Justin Rose, who he was playing with. He didn't see Jason go down, but he said it was very concerning. And he did ask him at one point if this the same thing he's been dealing with for a while, which is vertigo-like. I mean, I don't think they've actually made a diagnosis on it. It's been called vertigo-like. So Jason confirmed that it's the same thing. We're still not sure what it is, and it's just a shame because he was having a heck of a round, and he was very excited about this week.
The course, is it playing that much more difficult today or similar to yesterday?
It's probably about the same as yesterday. I think the one difference would be there was a little bit of cloud cover yesterday. I spoke with Mike Davis from the USGA yesterday, and he said they had been putting a lot of water on it, but the difference was the cloud cover yesterday kind of kept that moisture in the greens, allowed guys to be a little bit more aggressive, allowed balls to stop a little bit quicker. We don't have that today. It's perfect. I mean, sunshine's out, a little bit of a breeze, so the scoring might go down a little bit. I think they wanted to set the course up the same. It's probably not going to play out that way, but it's similar, and I think you'll have guys who play decent rounds will tell you that if you hit good shots, you'll get rewarded, but you don't have to be too far off to get punished.
Dustin Johnson, his game has just consistently gotten better the last few years. Obviously, you know, there's a lot of focus on Jordan Spieth because obviously he was outstanding in the Masters and has been great for the last few years and is a younger player. But you've watched Johnson's evolution, Rex, the last few years. What have you seen as the major difference in his game?
Well, it was fascinating yesterday. I mean, what you saw physically, we've always seen. We've always known he's talented. We've always known he can absolutely destroy the ball. He looks like he's angry when he swings at that golf ball. And you knew this was going to be a good golf course for him because it's such a big ballpark and length is such an advantage here. The one thing that's different, and we get that from everybody who is around him, Butch Harmon, for example, his swing coach, told me just a couple of weeks ago that the difference now is after taking that hiatus and going away from the game, he's just much more comfortable. He's much more at ease with himself, and because of that, it's enabled him to actually come out and not be concerned by little things that maybe used to bother him on the golf course. He is engaged being a father. He's engaged being a husband and all the things that entails. And I think you see that result on the golf course now. He doesn't get ahead of himself like maybe he did at 2010 at the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach when he took a 3-stroke lead into the final round.
Rex, taking a look at the leaderboard, Patrick Reed has shot 4-under. He's about to tee off in about half an hour's time. What did you make of Patrick's first round? He's still obviously a very young man, he's just 24 years old, but is this one of the better rounds you've seen Reed play, especially at a major?
Yeah, at a major. I mean, clearly we've seen him play some very good rounds. He's won a lot of events, and I think what he did at the Ryder Cup last year, it was even maybe on a bigger scale, at least to him, simply because it meant so much to him, and he's such a competitor and loves match play. But it was a very good round as he sort of makes that next step, and that next step for him is to win a major championship. And I don't think you'll find many people that don't think he's going to get it done, whether it's this week or somewhere down the road. And this is going to be such a mental test this week. Everybody knew coming in. And when it comes to mental toughness, there aren't too many guys who are better at that than Patrick, so you have to think this is a very good fit.
Taking a look at the leaderboard, both at the top and the bottom, Rex, what's the biggest surprise so far through, I guess, a day and a half of the U.S. Open?
Well, I think Ricky Fowler yesterday shooting around in the 80s. I think he was on everyone's short list as a potential winner, and the fact that he wasn't able to get it done, and the fact that he just looked very, very sloppy. And what he did last year at Major, finishing in the top five, in all four major championships, first guy to ever do that. The fact he loves link golf, that shocked me.
Rex Hoggard joins us. Looking at this course, Rex, you know, I know there was a lot of people that weren't fans of it early on, and the USGA has historically the last few years really wanted to make the U.S. Open extremely challenging for the players. Did they have to get over the mental hump of just how the course looked? Because the greens weren't green, right? How did that impact the players, if any?
No, they're definitely yellows. I mean, yeah, I think the mental battle is always a huge part of any U.S. Open, but particularly this week. And I think a lot of guys were already defeated before they got there, whether if they came here to play a practice round in the week's advance or just listen to those who did. everyone said it was going to be a different test. It was maybe even going to be a quirky test. I mean, depending on how you define it. It seems like you look at the guys on the leaderboard now, they're the ones who just accept it for what it is. At the end of the day, one guy is going to love this golf course for four rounds, and that's going to be the champion. And the guys on top of the leaderboard understand that, and they're speaking very highly of it. I think Phil Mickelson is a perfect example. I mean, when he came out here and played it the first time, he was very open. He said, I love it. You know, he didn't think he necessarily should host an Open here, but as a golf course that makes you think and demands a lot out of you, it certainly fits that bill.
Do you think the USGA goes too far sometimes in the courses they pick and the makeup of the course?
Not in recent years. I mean, you can go back to Shinnecock, I believe, in 2004. I think that was probably the prime example of where things got away from them, and certainly they'd never want to revisit that. I think maybe when all is said and done, this won't be the best experiment, although, you know, if you end up with a leaderboard we have now on Sunday, I don't think you'll have many people doubting this. And look, this is much different than what people are used to. This is much different than anything that you would normally see at a U.S. Open. But you could say the same thing about Torrey Pines in 2008, and most people will tell you that is the best Open of our generation. So I don't have a problem with them going coloring outside the lines a little bit, and they've certainly done that here. But you have to be careful, and we'll see how the rest of the week plays out.
I know there's still a lot of golf to be played, Rex, but is there some of that you've seen so far through the first round and a half that you can kind of see just maybe just preparing themselves for this tournament, going to go on a huge run on Saturday and Sunday?
I think Phil Mickelson is that guy. I mean, I know he's a bit of a ways back right now, and I know there's always a lot of attention on him at U.S. Opens because it would complete the career Grand Slam. But for those things I told you, when he came here, he fell in love with the course. I mean, Phil loves to be the smartest guy in the room, and this is a very thinking man's golf course, and he has spent a lot of time and understands it and knows that the things that are best about his game, specifically a short game in his imagination, that's what's important here. And so I think come Sunday afternoon, I'll be surprised if he at least doesn't have an outside chance of making a run and finally winning that U.S. Open title.
Rex, does golf still need Tiger Woods?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I mean, he's the engine that moves everything. I mean, when you look at what he's done for the game, I think Arnold Palmer is the only one you could really compare him to as far as popularity. And I don't think that's changed. We see it here this week. I mean, people are still flocking to see him as much as he struggles. I think golf is in a unique spot right now simply because when you look at the players who are on top of their game, on top of the leaderboard right now, it's amazing. I mean, you have Rory McIlroy winning twice already this year on the PGA Tour, Jordan Spieth doing what Jordan Spieth did at the Masters, and then this week, Ricky Fowler. I mean, it's a great convergence right now of very young, very talented players, and so I think that will help golf tremendously as Tiger struggles throughout this. But without a doubt, golf is better with Tiger Woods.
Is it better when he's this bad?
Well, no. I mean, certainly there's going to come a time of diminishing returns. If he continues to shoot rounds in the 80s and miss the cut like he did this week and shoot around in the 80s as his last start at Memorial, there has to come a time where people just aren't going to flock to see him. I mean, it's one thing to be a superstar. It's another thing to be a sideshow. And I'm sure he'll never want to get to that point. I'm not in a category that I'm writing him off. I mean, you can lose a lot of things. You can lose your confidence. You can lose your health. I don't think you ever lose talent. And he is still a very talented person.
Well, yeah, I would agree with that. It was interesting. We had a golf analyst who felt like, you know, Tiger, as your body evolves and you get older, that he might have to just slow down his swing. Like, he still rips it. Do you think that's an issue?
Yeah, I think there's something to be said there. I mean, I once had someone who's pretty close to Tiger Woods tell me that they told him that, look, you're still Mario Andretti. You just don't drive the fastest car anymore, and you need to figure out how to get around the track in the most efficient manner. And I can imagine a day when he comes to grips with the idea that, look, if I played the game maybe closer to what Jim Furyk plays, where you're more concerned about getting it in play and then letting your short game and letting your imagination carry you to titles, where he could get back to something close to where he was before, maybe even win a couple majors before it's all said and done. I'm very skeptical at this point in time that he'll ever reach Jack's record of 18 majors, but he's still talented and he's still driven. So if he ever reaches that epiphany, I think special things could come from that.
Rex, we appreciate your time on a busy day, and we look forward to the update reading your stuff about Jason Day. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.